Eloise Bridgerton never planned to run away. But after 12 years of watching her siblings marry for love while she remained on the shelf at 28, something inside her snapped. The letters from Sir Philip Crane had been arriving for over a year. Thoughtful, intelligent correspondence about botany and life at Romney Hall. When he suggested she might make a suitable wife, the proposition seemed almost logical. What did she have to lose? Her best friend Penelope had just married Eloise's brother Colin, breaking their pact to grow old as spinsters together. London's endless social season held nothing but more rejected proposals from men who bored her. Sir Philip's letters offered something different, intellectual stimulation, and the possibility of purpose. What Eloise couldn't know was that Sir Philip's invitation stemmed from desperation. A botanist thrust unwillingly into the role of baronet after his brother's death at Waterloo, Philip was drowning in grief and responsibility. His wife Marina, originally his brother's fiancée, had died after years of debilitating melancholy, leaving him alone with 8-year-old twins who seemed determined to terrorize every potential mother figure. His letters to Eloise had been a lifeline, a connection to someone who might understand his scientific passions and perhaps rescue him from his increasingly unmanageable life. Eloise's unannounced arrival at Romney Hall shattered both their illusions. Instead of a plain spinster, Philip faced a vibrant, beautiful woman from London society. Rather than the charming gentleman of her letters, Eloise found a gruff, socially awkward man irritated by her presence. Their awkward introduction was interrupted by screaming, revealing Philip's greatest omission. His twins, Amanda and Oliver, traumatized by their mother's depression and death, had become unruly troublemakers. "We don't want you here," Amanda declared, while Oliver physically pushed Eloise away. When they later rigged flour over her door, Eloise retaliated with tactics from growing up with 7 siblings, placing a fish in Amanda's bed and keeping Oliver guessing about his punishment. Romney Hall lacked the energy of Eloise's London life. Philip retreated to his greenhouse with his non-speaking, non-misbehaving plants, avoiding parenthood while a stern nursemaid disciplined the children harshly. This stark contrast between correspondence and reality forced both to reconcile their fantasies with reality. "Some men are just born knowing how to be fathers," Philip confessed to Eloise, "and others aren't suited to the task." His greatest fear wasn't his children's misbehavior, but his own response, continuing the cycle of abuse he suffered from Thomas Crane. After a dangerous prank, Philip grabbed a whip but dropped it in horror, fleeing to his greenhouse. When Oliver later asked if Philip would hit them, it revealed damage already done. Philip kept his distance, not from lack of love, but fear of his temper, yet this distance caused its own harm. The twins carried wounds too. Their reaction to Marina's death was heartbreakingly matter-of-fact. Amanda asked if their mother was happy now, and Oliver said, "Maybe she won't cry anymore," revealing they'd heard Marina's nightly sobs. "We often recreate the very pain we're trying to avoid." Philip's fear of becoming his father led to emotional absence. The twins' fear of abandonment manifested in behavior designed to push away potential mother figures. These cycles continue until someone breaks them. Philip and Eloise's physical attraction was immediate, their passionate first kiss establishing desire before emotional connection. Yet true intimacy required bridging their different communication styles. Philip was introspective, while Eloise processed thoughts aloud. Their first major argument erupted when Philip complained about her constant talking. When Eloise sought partnership regarding the nursemaid, Philip merely delegated, "I trust your judgment, it's why I married you," infuriating her. Their breakthrough came through vulnerability. Philip confessed his fear of becoming like his father, explaining his distance from the children. Eloise revealed her loneliness after Penelope's marriage and her fear of never finding love. These honest admissions created understanding where words had failed. Love often speaks through actions. Philip arranged greenhouse flowers to spell "I love you," expressing feelings he struggled to articulate. Eloise demonstrated love through practical care during illness. Connection requires translating across our different languages of love while remaining authentic.
The turning point came when Philip discovered Nurse Edwards beating Amanda. His fury was immediate, but he refused to become his father. Instead, he dismissed the nurse and embraced his children when they called him Daddy rather than Father for the first time in years. With Eloise's encouragement, Philip began spending time with the twins instead of retreating to his greenhouse. He told Amanda she was the most beautiful girl I have ever seen, words she desperately needed. When the children declared it the best day ever, Philip realized what he'd missed through isolation. Eloise applied lessons from her loving Bridgerton household to heal this family. She recognized the twins' misbehavior as a cry for attention. When she took them swimming, Philip was devastated to learn he didn't know his children could swim, highlighting his failings as a father. "Give it time, Eloise. Be gentle," her mother had advised, challenging Eloise to practice patience rather than managing everything. Breaking cycles of dysfunction requires both awareness of harmful patterns and courage to forge a different path. Both Eloise and Philip defied Regency England's social expectations. As a second son, Philip never anticipated inheriting Romney Hall or becoming baronet. His passion was botany and scientific study, which he continued despite their unconventionality for his station. Eloise rejected numerous marriage proposals, valuing intellectual compatibility over security. Her extensive letter writing expanded her voice beyond women's limited social sphere, and traveling unchaperoned to Romney Hall showed her willingness to risk scandal for happiness. Their marriage initially appeared conventional. Philip gained a mother for his children, while Eloise secured a respectable position. Yet their relationship evolved progressively. Philip valued Eloise's intelligence and management abilities, while Eloise found purpose not just in marriage and motherhood, but in transforming Romney Hall into a genuine home. Finding authentic purpose often requires breaking free from constraints, just as Philip and Eloise discovered joy by creating lives beyond their prescribed roles. Years later, Eloise wrote to her newborn daughter, "Know what you want and reach for it. And most importantly, know that you have parents who love each other and love you." This wisdom distilled their journey from isolation to connection. Their story reveals that love isn't finding someone perfect, but accepting flaws and supporting growth. True healing comes from acknowledging pain with compassion. Their family wasn't perfect. Philip still retreated when overwhelmed, Eloise still talked too much when nervous, but it was built on understanding rather than judgment. The greatest courage lies in everyday choices to begin again, trying once more with our children after failure, reaching for connection when loneliness seems safer, believing in possibility after disappointment. When trapped by past mistakes or others' expectations, remember Romney Hall's unlikely love story. The most beautiful gardens grow from damaged soil. They just need patience, care, and the courage to plant new seeds.